I want to start this morning by sharing about one of my favorite people from church history. So one of my favorite people from church history, and I actually shared this with our students a couple Sundays ago, is a guy named John Newton. John Newton lived in the 1700s in England. So he grew up in a rough home. Just his parents weren't taking very good care of him. He was in a very secular society, very secular home. Had a really rough upbringing. His dad was very mean to him. His mom died when he was young, and so he just didn't really have much of a good upbringing. And one of the things that John Newton was known for as he grew up, as he got older, as he went into his career in working on ships and eventually owning his own ship, was he was really known for his rough language, and not just cussing, but rough language in the sense that he would never stop talking. Like, people knew him as a person that just, he kept talking and talking, and often when you talk a lot, bad things come out, especially if you're not a follower of Christ. And so he was really known for his rough language, and as he became a ship owner, he believed in his life that he probably brought at least 20,000 slaves from Africa to either England or to the colonies through his work that he was doing there. But one time he was in a storm, and he kind of made a deal with God that if I survive this, that I want to know more about you, learn about you. And so he did that, and he went to church, and he was saved by Christ, and it changed his whole life. John Newton is known for two major things. First, he was the pastor of William Wilberforce, who was the one that was the crusader that ended the slave trade in England. And then the thing he's most well known for is he wrote hymns, and he wrote what is the most famous hymn of all time, which is Amazing Grace. And so John Newton, if you think about it, what I mentioned, what he was known for, right? He was known for talking too much, for cursing, for doing those things, but when the Lord Jesus changed his life, what happened? He became a person that wrote words, spoke words, because he became a pastor. He spoke words of the gospel, and he wrote songs that we're still singing today with lyrics of the gospel and of grace and of Jesus. And so this morning, what I want us to talk about, what we're going to think about, is the idea of, sometimes when we talk about sermons or we think about messages, about speech, we think about what types of words are coming out of our mouth. But this morning, I want us to focus on the idea of when to speak and when not to speak, because both of those things are true, and both of those things that are often we struggle with in our lives. So I want us to look ourselves in the mirror this morning, but look in the Bible to find out how it is that we can be guided by the Holy Spirit to know, okay, these are good times when we should speak, when often maybe we are scared to or fearful to, whether if there's maybe injustice or things that we don't really want to share the gospel, we're a little afraid, we don't have the right words to say. And I also want us to think about times in our life where we just need to be quiet, where we need to not speak. And so that's where we're going to be that this morning. And so Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." And so, again, sometimes when we get in these messages, we can start to think about and want to talk about the idea of the exact words that are coming out of our mouth. But I want to focus in and hone in this morning on how the power of the tongue could be in the fact that sometimes we need to be quiet, sometimes we need to speak. And so we're going to kind of focus in on that area this morning. So if you can go, we're going to start this morning in Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to be moving around, as you saw in the front of your bulletin there, that we're going to be in different places this morning in Proverbs, and we're going to land more in the New Testament at the end. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 to begin. So I've titled this sermon, "Silence a Stranger, Silence the Enemy." And so what I'm talking about is the idea that often silence for some of us could be a real stranger, right? We like to talk, we like people to hear what we have to say, and even in our digital footprint, we think people need to hear what we have to say. And sometimes we just need to be quiet. And then silence the enemy is sometimes it can be the point to where we don't even want to speak when we need to speak. And so that's where we're going to be going this morning. So Proverbs 10, verses 19 and 20 through 21 is where we'll begin. The word of God reads, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of sense. And if you notice, if you were to study through this book of Proverbs, if you've listened to messages on that, if you've read through it, you'll notice that there is often a talk about speech, about our tongues, by the things we say. And so this passage helps us to really dig in and hone in on that idea of when to speak and when not to. And so we're going to start here at the beginning by kind of talking about maybe this. It could be easy for you this morning to kind of get into the point of where you only want to hear one part of the sermon, right? Because maybe you struggle with one part of it. Maybe you speak too much, or maybe you don't speak enough when you need to. And so you might want to just be like, well, I'm real good over here, but then the rest of the sermon's not going to be great for you. Or maybe you don't like this part, but eventually you will. But I want you to hear all of this, because we all need to hear this. We all struggle probably with both of these ways at different times and different seasons of our life. And so we're going to start this morning by focusing on when we need to be quiet, or when we don't need to speak as much. And so that's what this passage right here is telling us. When words are many, transgression is lacking, right? Transgression is not lacking. Because that's what happens, right? When we speak, and often when we speak too much, when we won't be quiet, it's often when the transgressions start to come out, right? Because our sinful things start to come out of our heart when we speak too much and talk too much. That often happens. The chances of sin coming out of our mouths, out of our tongues, is more as we continue to speak more and more. Because our hearts, yes, we are followers of Christ. If we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we should be growing and getting better, but the sin nature is still there. We're still going to say things. We're still going to be impatient with our kids. We're going to still be angry about something that we see on the news. We're going to be wanting to post something. Our sinful hearts are still at work. So the one who learns to harness their words is the most prudent, is the one that is going to be the best witness for Christ in their lives, the ones that are able to learn to how to harness their speech. It's not an easy thing to do. I know in my own life, in my own heart, that I have to work at this, that I'm a pastor, so I like to talk. I want to say things. I want people to hear things. But I have to learn to harness my speech. I'll give you an example. When I was in my first ministry position in Arizona, there's this website out there, it's a satire website called Babylon Bee. And so one time, I just like to post some of their, on social media, I just like to post them because they're funny. Well, one time I did this, and there was a couple older ladies in our church that did not understand that it was satire, and they got very angry. They got really upset. And so I had to I learned in that moment that I have to be careful as a pastor, because not just the words that are coming out of my mouth, but the things I post now, because that's the digital age we live in, that we have to be careful about what we post and what we say. And I've also learned throughout my life about the importance of sometimes that it's not worth it to speak in a moment. You don't have to say something. Sometimes it's better to just harness it and pull back and think, should I say this? How can I say this better? How can I help this person in this situation without having to actually speak right then and right in that moment? Because our words, if there are many, if we continue to speak, the transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools died for lack of sense. And so we have to learn as followers of Christ that one of the best ways that we can be a witness in the world around us is our ability to harness our speech. The way we speak to each other, the way we decide when to speak, like when it's the best time to do it, you will see that you can be a great witness to the world around you, because the world has very much unrestrained speech all the time. People just speak and say whatever. They post and do whatever they want to do. Just no restraint at all. And so we as Christians have to learn to be prudent and to restrain our speech. The fruit and consequences of good speech, even when to speak and when not to, are many. Solomon gives so many more examples. I could go to a lot of other passages this morning where he talks about these things, but it's important for us to know that we are called to harness our speech. We are called at times to be quiet. We'll look in James in a little while where it will talk us a little bit more specifically on how to do that. The consequences are of no benefit to people if we choose to just have unrestrained speech. And that foolishness could lead to deeper consequences. I've seen it happen. Some things you say cannot be brought back. I mean, when you say them, they're out there. If you put something on digital footprint, it's out there. You can't pull it back on it. Even if you delete it, it's still there. And so we have to have real sense. We have to have real humility. We have to have real discernment about what we are saying and when we are speaking. Let's go look at another section here. This is Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27, and then we'll go into a little bit into chapter 18. So starting in verse 27 of Proverbs chapter 17. We find here both the idea of restraining our words, but which also can go a long way in helping us to be better in our relationships as we think about restraining our speech. Verse 27 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." I'm going to go a little further, but I want to say a few words here. I want you to see there, then verse 28, he even says, even a foolish person, if they choose to be quiet and be restrain their speech when they need to, is considered wise. That's how important it is for us to think about and discern the things that are coming out of our mouth. Things can come great that are come out of our mouth, but often they can be bad because of the sinfulness that's still inside of us. So even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes lips, he is deemed intelligent. We are called with knowledge, with discernment, to restrain our words. And then let's read verses 1 through 4 of 18. He writes here, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. When wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes disgrace. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook." So you see here, as we enter into chapter 18 of Proverbs, another couple of challenges about speech are given. We will get a little bit more into speaking in the next section when we should speak, but this is a challenge not to isolate as God fears. It leads us to a lack of accountability. We need each other to help us because each of us in this room struggles in different ways with our speech. Some of us talk way too much, some of us talk too little. We need to talk more. So we need each other. Each of us need to help each other and be willing to tell each other like, hey, I don't think you should have said it or should have said it that way. Or no, we really needed to hear you in that moment. We really needed that. We needed you to say something then. So we need each other. But if you're here this morning and you struggle to talk too much, we need some people to tell us that you need to be quiet. It's time to be quiet. You need to do that. If you are struggling maybe with your struggle with your digital footprint where you feel like you have to be heard when something happens that you have to post something and you need to share it, you need people to hold you accountable, to tell you, like, hey, you probably shouldn't have posted that. That probably wasn't necessary in that moment. Maybe it was time to just take a step back and wait. And I've had to learn both of those things in my own life. I've had to have people in my own life to tell me, hey, probably not the best moment for that to say that. Or my wife telling me, you need to be a little more patient with the kids. Or maybe you shouldn't have posted something like that. I've learned those things in my own life. We are sinful people still living as followers of Christ. Your opinion about things isn't always right. You don't always need to be heard. The depth of our words is not to be underestimated either. Let us strive in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're struggling this morning, find accountability. Ask people that are close to you, how can I deal with this? How can I think through this? How can I make wiser choices? The power of the Holy Spirit lives inside of us to help us to speak less and speak with more prudence and speak with more humility. And here's another thing. Confess it when you do wrong. Be willing to say, hey, I know I struggle with this. I know I talk too much. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have posted that. Be willing to admit when you are struggling with that. It's important for us to do that. Remember the whole statement that we like to say often? We've heard this one since maybe we were kids. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all, right? And so I love this quote from Chuck Swindoll that kind of thinks about that from a more Christian worldview. We need to think of our tongue as a messenger that runs errands from our heart. Our words reveal our character. And so again, it is somewhat about what we're saying, but it's also sometimes the timing of it. Should we say that now? Should we not? Or do we need to say something in this moment? There is a need for great discernment in this world about when to speak and when not to speak. One of the greatest ways we can do that is by restraining our tongues. You guys might all have different points of view about Charlie Kirk, but one of the things I always loved about him is when he would have somebody speak, he set that mic down. That was one of the coolest things about him. Is he would listen. He wasn't always the best, he didn't always say the right things, but he put that mic down. And he listened. And that's sometimes what we need to do in our lives. We need to put the proverbial, if I can say that word, proverbial mic down. We need to put it down. We need to listen more, to discern more of what other people, hear out other people, instead of just talking all the time. So if you struggle with that this morning, allow the Holy Spirit to change you. Get accountability with other people and allow the Lord to change your heart. This isn't just to pull up your bootstraps and do this on your own, right? You have other followers of Christ that can help you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The gospel, as we'll talk about in a little bit, can change you with this. I am so thankful that the Lord has helped me to learn to flee from temptation of posting too much online, of speaking too much as I desire to at times. And I'm learning to try to get better at these things. This is a growing experience for myself. I'm not here this morning speaking just to you. I'm speaking to my own heart. So sometimes silence can be a stranger. It can be hard to live out in our daily lives, but through the Lord working on us, he can change us. He can make us reflect more of Jesus in the way that we learn to discern and be quiet when we need to. May we turn our eyes to Jesus that leads our speech to reflect his character. Now let's think about the other side of things. I think about some things of sometimes where maybe we don't talk about enough about times where we do need to speak, where we don't and we need to. I think about the stories that I've heard about people hearing domestic abuse going on all over around their house, like a neighbor or something like that, and they just ignore it and don't even deal with it. Like a man who comes to church feeling judgment when he confesses deep sin in his life that they don't want to share it. People don't want to share things in church because I want to come and put on a mask. People feel that desire to not share their thing. Or I've seen church splits occur because bitterness creeps into the hearts of people and nobody's willing to talk about the struggles that they have with each other. Just think about just injustices in the world that often we as a church or even as Christians don't speak out on where we should when we need to. I think about how many of us, including myself, don't take opportunities to share our faith when we should. There's people in our neighborhoods and our jobs all over that God places us with people that we can share our faith with, but often we don't do it when we should. One of the greatest enemies of this world is a church that's a church and a people that aren't willing to speak on the gospel to their neighbors, to their coworkers, to their friends, to their family members that don't know. We need to be known for speaking when we need to with the gospel. We need to do that. We need to do it well. So let's look at a passage from Proverbs that helps us with that. Proverbs 25, 11 through 14. I'm so thankful to the writings of Solomon here he talks a lot about this topic of what we speak and when to speak. It's just helpful. This is verse 11 of Proverbs chapter 25. It says, "A word fitly spoken is like an apple, is like apples of gold in the setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give." So some really good illustrations Solomon gives us here to see the rewards of a word spoken in the right way and the right time. They are sweet for the giver and for the receiver and bring light to the dark situations that are going on. You can see the benefit here of someone speaking reproving things, helpful things, good things to each other and to the listening ear of the person that is hearing those things. I just think this is an interesting quote from Pascal. Pascal says, "Kind words do not cost much. They never blister the tongue or lips. They make other people good nature. They also produce their own image on men's souls, and a beautiful image it is. Just think about those, the beautiful things that can come when we speak in the right time, when God calls us to do it, or we just feel led to do it, and we are able to speak words that build people up, help them to hear the gospel, work through a difficult situation with love and grace for each other. There are times, brothers and sisters in Christ, where we do need to speak. And there are times where it's going to be hard to speak those words, but we need to speak them. We must look for those opportunities when the Lord calls us to. So much of our speech that is needed comes from living in the reality of a sovereign God that guides our steps and our words too, right? He's guiding us every step of the way. We sang about it this morning. He guides us every step of the way. But he also is guiding our speech. He should be. You should be thinking about how he's guiding your speech. Because if you're not, it's probably going to be a little unrestrained. It's going to be there'll be some problems, some sinfulness there if you're not careful with that. And so we need to kind of be cognizant of what is God doing through my speech? What are the words I'm speaking? What's the timing of those things? But one of those things is that we are called to speak in certain moments and certain times, and God wants us to speak. He uses this great harvesting, you know, we're just finishing the harvest here. It's kind of using a farming illustration here. The time of harvest is hard, but it also can be very draining from the exertion and the hot weather. It's very hard. We have farmers in our church, and I talk to them. I've even been out with them. I see how the hard work that they're doing all the time. The cold of the snow brings relief and allows for a little bit less strenuous work. So just in the same way, the words of a Holy Spirit-driven messenger brings relief and refreshment to the souls of those that receive them. And then in the last part there, in that last verse, in verse 14, he talks about that people like to brag, like that the clouds with no rain, do the opposite and incur in discouragement and offer no relief with their words or actions, right? And so we need to be clear this morning that there are times where words can really help. So I want you to think about maybe somebody you need to speak an encouraging word today, or maybe somebody in your family or a coworker or a friend or a neighbor that needs to hear the gospel that you've been waiting. You've been kind of maybe a little fearful of something. Go now and share. Let the Holy Spirit guide you to speak those words. Maybe there's somebody in this room or somebody in your life that you would just have a real struggle with this morning, that your personalities rub each other the wrong way, you've had something, they've done something to you or said something to you. Don't be afraid to speak a word of rebuke or speak a word of I just need to share with you that I'm struggling with this. Don't be afraid to speak words in those moments. If you know clearly of an injustice that you see that's going on around you, in a graceful, loving, biblical way, share about it, talk about it. Do it in a way that is uplifting and good and discerning. We are called to speak words of affirmation, to encouragement, of the gospel, of sometimes even loving rebuke when they need to hear that. We need to be willing to speak those words, even though they might be hard. So again, there's two sides of the coins here, right? And maybe some of you feel a little bit more of the pinch or the pressure one way or the other because that's what your personality is or that's what you struggle with more. But I think all of us can learn from both of these things, that we both probably in seasons and different times struggle with these things. Sometimes you may struggle with the silence being a stranger where you're just talking too much and not doing enough. Sometimes it might be that silence is an enemy where you are just being silent when you need to speak. But Proverbs 15:23 says, "To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in a season. How good is it?" How good is it? I love those words. What are some injustices in the world going around you? Where is somebody that you just need to talk to somebody about a struggle that you're having? Just be willing to be open and speak when you need to. Don't hold back. When the Holy Spirit's nudging you towards sharing your faith or dealing with a difficult situation in a relationship, don't be afraid to do it. Take those steps forward. And if you need others to help you, to pray with you over those things, to work through those things, just like what I said with the other one, look for accountability. Allow people to help you to work through that. And so I just want us to be reminded this morning that the Bible gives us no caveat in script at all for a personality for not speaking when we need to. He doesn't give us a caveat on the other side either. When we speak too much or we struggle with that way, we don't have a caveat. Just because that's our personality doesn't mean we get to be that way. We are to harness our speech on either side. We harness it to slow it down when we need to, and we harness it to let it go when it needs to be spoken. We need to allow the Lord to where there's no caveat in, for personality in those things. We might struggle with one way or the other, but that's why we need accountability, and we now need to allow the Holy Spirit to help us with those things. I wanted to close this morning by looking at a couple of, we're going to look at one more proverb quickly and then a couple of New Testament passages to help us to see how the gospel is transforming in our speech, how when to speak and when not to speak. I want to share a story from how much speech can be a need and a friend to us. It's a cultivating a heart of wisdom. This is from the Lord of the Rings stories. My favorite character in the Lord of the Rings stories is Aragorn, but my second favorite one is Samwise Gamgee, the faithful friend of Frodo. And so he gives this great line in a deep moment of peril. You know, they're thinking their life's over. The ring's been destroyed, but they think their life's over. And so he gives this great speech to Frodo. He says, "I know. It's all wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here, but we are. It's like the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger, they were. And sometimes you didn't know the end, because how could the end ever be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it will shine out all the more of the clear. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I do know. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something." Think about the wisdom in the heart of that speech. In a moment of peril, when I think their life's over, that Samwise is such a good, faithful friend to encourage and help him to say, we could have turned back time after time, but we didn't, and we kept going with this. Cultivating a heart of wisdom that flows out in the words we speak starts with a fear of the Lord. The closer our relationship is with the Lord, the better we will live out that speech as when needed and as a friend that builds others up. So Proverbs 1:7, I think most of us probably, a lot of us know this passage, but I just want to read it quickly to help us to understand this idea, because it's really about the Lord and helping us in our speech. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so again, our trust and reliance on the Lord is the best wisdom that we could ever have. We often tend to fear man when it comes to our speech. We tend to fear the world. We tend to fear things could happen to us or whatever. There's lots of things we could fear. Our temptation is to go our own selfish way with our speech. But listening to the wisdom and knowledge that comes to the Lord guides us to the best wise speech we can have. We cannot control our tongues on our own. I can't do it. You can't do it. We need to press into the Lord. We need to fear the Lord more. We must begin there. That's where it begins. The fear of the Lord is where we receive knowledge with our speech, when to speak, when not to speak, and what words that come out of our mouth. So I want to look at a couple New Testament passages. James chapter 1. I think a lot of us probably know this one too, but this is a good reminder to us this morning of how the gospel speaks to our speech. So we're going to be in James chapter 1, and we're going to look at starting in verse 19. So James 1, 19. Get to there. This is what the Word of God reads. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." One of the greatest traits of a follower of Christ is one who is willing to listen first, to be slow to speak and slow to anger and very quick to listen. some of the people that are the greatest mentors of my life, the greatest followers of Christ that I've tried to emulate, are the ones that are willing to listen. They've listened to me, that I watch them listen to others, and they're very quick to listen and not to speak and not to get angry. And I want to keep growing in that, and I need to keep growing in that. I'm trying to, in my life, to be more quick to listen and not to speak and to be angry. We can often get in deep disagreements and hurt people by the things that we say, the things that we post. We've already dug into the discernment of speech some this morning, but I want us to think about how we need to be very slow to speak at times. We need to not live in the world of hot takes and reels and just speaking, feel like you need to be heard. We sometimes need to delay our response. Sometimes we really need to listen to hear people out, know what they're going through, what's happening in their life, so we can better speak to what's going on. We need to learn to allow the scriptures to speak to us. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and other followers of Christ to help us through these situations, when to speak and when not to speak. And anger is one of those things that's really hard for us. That's where sometimes that our speech can be the most difficult to restrain, is we can get very easily angered about the way our children are acting or things are going on in the world around us, that we struggle at times with just being able to restrain our speech, especially when we're angry. So that's why we need to be slow to be angry. Start with, sometimes there are times in our life where there is injustices, where, you know, anger, there is righteous anger out there, but for the most part, we tend to have unrestrained anger, which leads to even more unrestrained speech. So we need to be really careful about how we allow that anger to build up inside of us. Because it says there, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So anger is something we want to, the sinful type anger, we want to avoid that. And so I think this morning, the gospel really brings us to help us to understand how we can think about our speech. Each of us this morning that is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be changed by the things you struggle with this. If you are here this morning struggling with just speaking too much, posting too much, and having unrestrained speech, the Lord can change your heart. He can guide you and lead you through this. If you struggle this morning with not speaking enough when you need to, the Lord also can change your heart. The gospel speaks to that. He can help you to speak the gospel more, to speak with words that you need to be said in the moments. And so one of the ways that we can really be changed by the gospel, and one of the ways we can see that through what we've read this morning from God's word, is through our speech. So allow the gospel to change you. Don't try to do it on your own. Allow the gospel to change your heart. Which leads us to our last passage that's already been read this morning, but I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. It's a really good, I think, landing spot for us this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's it in a nutshell. If we want to be better, if we want to learn to restrain our speech when we need to speak up when we should be doing it, we need to understand that we are new creations, that we are changed. We are not like the world. We're not the same anymore, not the same person we were before Jesus. We have been brought in by the ministry of reconciliation, and he is, through sanctification, continuing to reconcile parts of our lives that have just been damaged and ruined by sin. There's lots of areas that we could talk about with this, but the restrained speech, the idea of what the way we speak, is a part of that. We have freedom as new creations to live for Christ now and to speak for Christ now. We have the ability to do that. We have changed hearts, which changes our minds. It changes our hands and our actions, but he also changes our speech, our tongue, the things that we say. Our speech is part of that new creation, that Holy Spirit transformed life. We as believers in Jesus have been changed. We can be changed. And if you are here this morning and you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to call you to a relationship with him because he's going to change your life. You might be here that you've never received Christ. Receive him today. He offers you grace for your sin. He can change you. You will not be able to really only but a little bit temporary change your speech if you don't have Christ. If you want the eternal change, you want the lifestyle change, you want to be able to have freedom to live for Jesus, you have to have a relationship with him. You are a sinner and you are in need of grace. That's what John Newton's saying about. Amazing grace. We all need it. Everybody in this room needs that amazing grace. So receive Jesus today. It also mentions here that we are ambassadors for Christ. And one of the ways that we can do that well is by the way we speak. You want to live for Christ? You want to be an ambassador? You know what an ambassador is? He's the one, we are the ones that are standing in the front lines to tell people about who Jesus is, that our whole lives, all our words, everything we're doing is waving, Jesus, 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 gospel, gospel, gospel. That's what it means to be an ambassador for him. So that new creation heart, along with being an ambassador for him, should lead us to be cognizant, to think about what we're saying, how we're saying it, when we're saying it. It should lead us to that. Because we have been forgiven, and our words can be changed through us being new creations and ambassadors for him. So one of the main ways that we are ambassadors for Christ is the way that we speak about the gospel to others. And so we need to be out there on the front line sharing the gospel every day of our lives through the way we live, the way we speak, the choices we make, the forgiveness that we ask for when we need it, when we've sinned and done wrong. We need to be an ambassador for Christ. We can strive to do that by the words that we say and the way that we say them and when we say them. I just love this passage as a landing spot here. It's just a reminder to us about who we are, how we've been changed, how we can live, how we have the freedom to live now. So I close this morning by saying that these passages that we've read help us to be reminded about the fact that God does care about the way we speak. He does care about when we speak and when we need to be quiet. We have been made new creations. We are ambassadors for Christ. So this is a deep call to us to look in the mirror, to check our hearts, to see where it is that we need to work on this. And we do this by vigilantly fighting against the sin of speech that's in our hearts and the coming out of our mouth. We ask for forgiveness when we struggle. We go for accountability when we need it from the body of Christ. But the gospel offers us grace. So it's not just about just getting right now. Like, I got to get right with God. Like, I've been doing all these things. It's receiving God's grace, receiving his grace for your speech, receiving that forgiveness through your repentant heart. God, Jesus offers us grace through his Holy Spirit. We can grow and we can defeat the sin of our tongues and our speech. So this morning we go and we cultivate a heart of wisdom that leads us to have speech that honors the Lord in the most deepest way. So wherever you are this morning, be reminded that you are forgiven. That whatever you struggle with in these speech things, you've been forgiven, you could receive grace. And today and tomorrow, let's move forward through the Holy Spirit, through accountability, through Jesus' grace in our lives with our speech. Cultivate that heart of wisdom and live for Jesus in your speech. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the words that you have given me to speak this morning. I pray that anything that I have said that is not worthy of your gospel message, of your word, just help people to just disregard those things. But Lord, the things that have come out of my mouth that are from your word that you want here people to hear through your spirit, Lord, help them to sink in and be a lifestyle change, a lifestyle change through your Holy Spirit guiding us. I thank you, Lord, for cultivating a heart of wisdom inside of us about the words we speak and when to speak them and when not to speak. And so, Lord, I pray that you will take these things and help us to put these into practice in our lives, that we will be more patient, we'll be more graceful, we'll be quicker to listen and slower to anger in speaking. Lord, we are so grateful that you have made us new creations, that we have been called to be ambassadors for you through your ministry of reconciliation. And Lord, I pray that you will help us day by day through your sanctification work in our lives, that we will grow in this idea of speech and with our tongues. Help us to live these things out. Lord, we love you. We're thankful for your grace and for your salvation message. Thank you for your gospel. We pray all this in your great and gracious name. Amen.